This morning, Israel's president is asking forgiveness as the bodies of four hostages taken by Hamas in its attack on October 7, 2023, are returned to their loved ones. They are said to include the bodies of Shiri Bibas, who was 32 years old when the militant group abducted her and her sons, 4-year-old Ariel and 9-month-old Kafir, from their home in southern Israel. Hamas had released the children's father, Yarden Bibas, earlier this month as part of the ceasefire deal. The fourth body is said to be that of 83-year-old Oded Lifshitz, who was also kidnapped in southern Israel, along his wife, Yocheved Lifshitz. The terror group released her just a couple weeks later on October 24, 2023. Ahead of the handoff, Hamas militants placed 4 black caskets on a stage in the southern city of Khan Yunis. Israeli authorities say the caskets were first turned over to the Red Cross, then transferred to the Israeli military inside Gaza. The Israelis will take the bodies to the Institute of Forensic Medicine in Tel Aviv for examination. After the handover, Israeli President Isaac Herzog asked for forgiveness for failing to protect those captured on October 7th, saying, "On behalf of the State of Israel, I bow my head and ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness for not protecting you on that terrible day. Forgiveness for not bringing you home safely. This comes as Hamas is now proposing the release. All captives remaining in the Gaza Strip in, quote, one go, in exchange for a lasting truce and a complete Israeli army withdrawal from the war-torn enclave, while also rejecting Israel's call for Hamas disarmament and removal from the Strip." The militant group is already set to release 6 more living Israeli hostages on Saturday, double the number originally planned. In exchange, Israel will free all women and those under the age of 19 arrested since last October and allowing some rubble-clearing equipment into Gaza through the border with Egypt. A total of 73 hostages are still being held in Gaza, including Israeli soldiers and civilians, both dead and alive, and some Thai and Nepalese nationals. President Trump is calling on Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to move fast on negotiating an end to the war with Russia. It comes amid a back and forth between the two presidents this week after the Trump administration began working with Russian diplomats to discuss ending the war without including Ukraine in those initial talks. Trump said, "A dictator without elections, Zelensky better move fast. He's not going to have a country left. Got to move fast because that war is going in the wrong direction. In the meantime, we're successfully negotiating an end to the war with Russia." Zelensky had accused Donald Trump of living in a disinformation space in his dealings with Russia. Vice President J.D. Vance told Zelensky, "Watch out when it comes to bad-mouthing President Trump in public and that it's an atrocious way to deal with this administration." Trump also claims that Ukraine has misused billions of dollars, American aid, saying some is now missing. He also wants Europe to pay its fair share. The U.S. has allocated about $183 billion to Ukraine since the Russian invasion in February of 2022, according to the U.S. Special Inspector General in charge of oversight of American assistance to Ukraine. The stage is now set for a potential Supreme Court showdown over one of President Donald Trump's executive orders. An appeals court declined the Justice Department's request to reinstate the order ending birthright citizenship in the U.S. yesterday, setting up a possible emergency application to the Supreme Court. Since the president signed the order, legal experts have said it violates the 14th Amendment, which grants American citizenship to anyone born on U.S. soil. The order denies citizenship to future children born in the United States if neither parent was a U.S. citizen or lawful permanent resident. This morning, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy is looking to quell Americans' growing fears over flying after a series of plane crashes over the last few weeks. It comes on the heels of another deadly incident in Arizona just yesterday. 2 people died after 2 small planes crashed midair at the Marana Regional Airport, about 20 miles northwest of Tucson. This marks the 2nd midair collision this year and the 2nd deadly crash in Arizona in less than 2 weeks. Marana Regional Airport is an uncontrolled field, meaning it's an airport that does not have an active air traffic control tower. Instead, it's the responsibility of the pilot in command to maintain a safe distance from other aircraft in the area. Investigators are working to figure out what caused the head-on crash. This is just latest in a recent string of aviation disasters. Last month, an American Airlines passenger jet and a U.S. Army Black Hawk helicopter collided head-on near Reagan National Airport in Washington, D.C. They both crashed into the Potomac River, killing all 67 people on both aircraft. Then just 2 days later, a medical transport jet crashed into a Philadelphia neighborhood less than 2 minutes after takeoff, killing all six people on board and one person on the ground. Several others on the ground were injured. A week later, 10 people died when a small plane crashed in Alaska after losing speed and altitude and vanishing from radar. Last week, two private jets collided on the tarmac at the Scottsdale Airport in Arizona, killing one person and injuring four others. And this past Monday, a Delta Airlines flight from Minneapolis to Toronto crashed, landed, caught fire, and flipped over at Pearson International Airport. All 80 people on board survived that crash. Nearly two dozen were taken to the hospital. In an interview with CBS News, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy addressed Americans' concerns over flying in the wake of these incidents. He concedes improvements are necessary. Duffy said, "If you look at how many people fly, how many flights we have, of course it's a safe space. The systems that we use are so old, we should be the envy of the world, but we have systems across our network that are run on floppy disks." Duffy said, "Despite how it may appear, there is not a pattern behind the catastrophes," saying each one is, quote, "very unique." Meanwhile, on Tuesday, Delta announced it's offering every passenger who was on board the jet that crashed in Toronto $30,000 with no strings attached. If all 76 passengers and four crew members who were on the flight take Delta up on its offer, it will end paying out about $2.5 million. As the Trump administration's Department of Government Efficiency looks for ways to cut government spending and save taxpayer dollars, President Trump says he's weighing giving some of the money saved back to the taxpayers. Trump told an audience in Miami Beach he's considering a plan to give 20% of the money to American citizens and earmarking another 20% for paying down government debt. Elon Musk has said his goal is to cut federal spending by $2 trillion. Doge believes it has already saved $55 billion through spending cuts and the layoff of federal workers in just 4 weeks. If the $2 trillion goal is met, $400 billion would be redistributed to American taxpayers, amounting to around $5,000 per household, according to Azoria investment firm CEO James Fishback. Finally, this morning, you've heard the expression, "Good things come to those who wait." Well, if you've been waiting for the perfect deal to update your old iPhone, get this. Apple has announced its latest model, a less expensive version of the iPhone 16 with lots of new technology. It's called the iPhone 16e. Apple say it uses the newest A18 processor, features an artificial intelligence assistant, and has the first cellular modem designed by Apple. It is the first update to Apple's cheaper lines of phones, replacing the C model. Apple seems to be pushing customers in this direction as its retail website has now removed the C model and the iPhone 14. The new iPhone 16e goes on sale February 28th and is priced at $599.